In the glass station, the big nurse has opened a package from a foreign address and is sucking into hypodermic needles the grass and milk liquid that came in vials in the package. One of the little nurses, a girl with one wandering eye that always keeps looking worried over her shoulder while the other one goes about its usual business, picks up the little tray of filled needles but doesn't carry them away just yet. "What, Miss Ratched, is your opinion of this new patient? I mean, gee, he's good-looking and friendly and everything, but in my humble opinion, he certainly takes over." The big nurse tests a needle against her fingertip. "I'm afraid..." She stabs the needle down in the rubber-capped vial and lifts the plunger. "That is exactly what the new patient is planning, to take over. He is what we call a manipulator, Miss Flynn, a man who will use everyone and everything to his own ends."
"Oh, but, I mean, in a mental hospital? What could his ends be?"
"Any number of things." She's calm, smiling, lost in the work of loading the needles. "Comfort and an easy life, for instance. The feeling of power and respect, perhaps. Monetary gain. Perhaps all of these things. Sometimes a manipulator's own ends are simply the actual disruption of the ward for the sake of disruption. There are such people in our society. A manipulator can influence the other patients and disrupt them to such an extent that it may take months to get everything running smooth once more. With the present permissive philosophy in mental hospitals, it's easy for them to get away with it. Some years back, it was quite different. I recall some years back we had a man, a Mr. Tabor, in the ward, and he was an intolerable ward manipulator. For a while." She looks up from her work, needle half-filled in front of her face like a little wand. Her eyes get far off and pleased with the memory. "Mr. Tabor," she says.
"But gee," the other nurse says, "what on earth would make a man want to do something like disrupt the ward for, Miss Ratched? What possible motive?"
She cuts the little nurse off by jabbing the needle back into the vial's rubber top, fills it, jerks it out, and lays it on the tray. I watch her hand reach for another empty needle, watch it dart out, hinge over it, drop.
"You seem to forget, Miss Flynn, that this is an institution for the insane."
The big nurse tends to get real put out if something keeps her outfit from running like a smooth, accurate, precision-made machine. The slightest thing messy or out of kilter or in the way ties her into a little white knot of tight-smiled fury. She walks around with that same doll smile crimped between her chin and her nose and that same calm whir coming from her eyes, but down inside of her she's tense as steel. I know, I can feel it. And she don't relax a hair till she gets the nuisance attended to, what she calls adjusted to surroundings.